to the glory of God, all those things are possible. You didn't see a lot of ash, did you? I mean, yeah, you've got dead trees all over the place yet, but God has brought life back up there. There's a lot of green grass where there never was grass before. I mean, before the fire, we had about 8 inches of pine needles on the floor of the forest, and so nothing could grow. Worked as a very good mulch. Weeds, nothing grew. Now everything grows. And it is exciting because all summer long, starting about the middle of May, all the way through until the first freeze, you have flowers, wild flowers that God has brought up there all over the place. I mean, from your wild iris in the early spring to different colored flowers scattered throughout the summer. But there's never a time where you don't find those wild flowers blooming, even if it's getting dry. Oh, what God can do in bringing beauty out of ashes. He truly does a wondrous job. Oh, we're so excited at what God has done. And we're excited that you're one to bring some young people up there this summer. You know, I heard that some of the young people from this church were planning on coming clear back in 2012. And then the fire came and it shut down all our camps. And so they couldn't come. But you know, it's now God's rebuilt, and I guarantee it, the cabins are much nicer and will be much more enjoyable to live in and stay in than what we had before the fire. And so we're excited about what God is doing. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of in the gate." Oh, that first verse. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You know what? I am so thankful with Camp Grace that we couldn't literally rebuild that camp on our own. I'm so thankful it was out of our capabilities, our expertise, our financial resources to do anything about it. Because if it had been in our possession and property to do something, guess what would have happened? We could have patted ourselves on the back and said, "Man, look at what you have done." But because it wasn't, all we can say is, praise God. Look at what God has done. This is his camp. It's for his glory. And that's what we want to use it for the rest of time on this earth, just to bring glory to God. I know it's exciting to see how God has brought glory. But the verse I wanted to focus on, though, because this first verse, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it," it's not talking about campgrounds. It's talking about families. It's talking about people, individuals. I mean, that's why down in verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." They are something that is important. They are the inheritance from the Lord that he's giving to us. Something for us to go and cherish. Something for us to go and make sure we do it right with in raising them in a way that will honor and glorify God. Too often, I think we just let parenthood and raising parents just float by. But as parents, we need to realize God has given us those children for a reason, to raise so that they can bring glory to God. So that they can be what God wants them to be. And that ought to be the desire of every parent. Oh, Camp Grace, we're not there to take the place of parents. No, we're there to take and come alongside churches and parents to do one thing. Help go and emphasize and re-emphasize the message that they're hearing at home, the message that they're hearing in church, the message of salvation. How Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save them from their sins. The message of how they need to go and be walking in the light as He is in the light. The message of hope and the message of separation, of living for God. That's what we are trying to do, is come alongside to help in churches and help the families in their jobs of raising their children to glorify God. Oh, our children are the heritage of the Lord. Let's now take our Bibles and turn back to Psalm 78. It's an interesting psalm here. It's a song that was written by Asaph. And as he writes this psalm, I think it's because he saw an issue that was going on. And that was, parents were having children that were growing up and not living for the Lord. He saw grandchildren that were growing up and didn't even know anything about God. And what a great God that we serve. How tragic. But you know, it happens all the time, even today, where godly parents raise children and they get out of the home and it's like they never heard anything. And it makes you wonder, what is going on in the home? In this psalm, we find that God gives us some ideas talking about the children of Israel and the actual children of Israel, the Jewish people, what they needed to do to help their children make the right choices in life. First thing I notice as I look down in this psalm is we can make, help our children grow up to make the right choices by recognizing, first and foremost, God gave them to us. That verse about them being the heritage of the Lord. And then by training them in the way that they should go. You know, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. The reality is, every parent is training up their child and their children in the way they should go, whether we like it or not. We are training by our actions our children to go how we are. Usually they take it a step further, our kids do, than what we do, because they see it as normal. Because that's what was taught them by the example of their parents. That's why as parents we need to be careful. But here we find in Psalm 78 it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. What's He saying He's going to do? Hey, I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to utter dark sayings. I'm going to talk to my children. Why? I'm not going to hide from my children. Why? Because I want to show them. I want to show them the praises of the Lord. Hey, what do you have to praise God about? Are you telling your kids about all the wonderful things God is doing? Or is your God the God that died when the Old Testament ended? Or the God that died when Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven? You know what? We sing a song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Friends, we serve the same God as Abraham did, and Isaac and Jacob and all the children of Israel. The God that took them and led them across through the Red Sea and across the Jordan River. I mean, we're serving the same God, and we have a tendency today to not see God in all of His glory. And I think it's because we aren't looking. We aren't going and asking God for things and then waiting to see Him do those things. Maybe it's because we are so wrapped up in our world of trying to make it in our own abilities. Maybe it's because we're so wrapped up with a time schedule, we don't have time to meditate and think about what God has done. Oh, you know, I have to admit, I'd gotten somewhat to that point in the pastorate. I mean, yes, I saw God work here and there in lives and things like that. I'll tell you, I was talking to some young people that are in college this last week at a conference I was at back in Pennsylvania. And I got the opportunity to start talking. I couldn't shut my mouth hardly about the wonderful things I have seen God do in the last 5 years. I mean, things that are of biblical proportions. I saw God literally stop a forest fire from coming into Camp Grace by sending a hailstorm in and putting out that fire. I saw God literally somehow or other, for some reason or other, go and protect me from a rattlesnake. I say protect me because I was either standing on it or right next to it for about 15 minutes. It was a little one about this big that, from what I've been told, they're very potent. Yeah. I mean, I was visiting with one of the ranchers that is up around the camp. He was working on a fence line, and I talked for about 10 to 15 minutes, and all of a sudden he looked down and his eyes got as big as saucers. And he was sure I'd been bitten by this little baby rattlesnake. I had to take my socks and shoes off to show him, no, I haven't been bitten. Nothing's happened. Hey, you know what? That's the God we serve. He is the all-powerful, the almighty God. He's the one that can do anything and everything. I've seen Him raise that camp out of ashes, total ashes. I mean, right after the fire, the only thing there was black. We have some pictures of some kids that were up there from up in Wapiti, Wyoming. They came down, their parents came down to bring a group to camp the next summer. They were black from head to toe. Literally, I mean totally black. Had one board member come up one time while we were cleaning up the mess. He said, are there any white folks here? He asked me that. You know, he was having a good time. I was totally black all the way through. I mean, it was just powder ash all the way. But you know what? We need to be talking to our children and sharing with our children what God is doing. And if you can't see God doing anything, then you better ask Him to show you what He is doing. The way He takes care of us day by day, the way He protects you and I as we drive to work or up and down from one town to another to wherever, you know? It's of His mercy that we aren't killed. I mean, there are too many people that are killed in traffic accidents. You know? I've seen God do things that are amazing. And you can too. Because you see, God is not selective. He wants to make Himself known. He wants us to be able to tell our children, our grandchildren, that the God of the Bible is the living God. And you know what? Even if you don't have anything you can point to, like some of the things I could point to, who cares? You've got the whole Old Testament. Trust me, our God is just as powerful today as He was back then. The Bible tells us He is the same today and forever. Same as He was back then. Friends, we need to realize something. God wants us to not hide God's workings from our children and our grandchildren. He wants us to be going and showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. God wants us to exalt him. I've got my own idea, and that is, if God does some wonderful things in your life and you're not sharing it with people, sharing it and telling people around you about it, he's going to say, why show them how great I am? It's just going to be a waste of time. But you know what? The greatest testimony for this world is when they see somebody that is excited because their Lord, their Savior, their Jesus is alive and actively working in their lives and meeting their needs. Oh, it might not always be quite the way we want. Remember, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. It doesn't say all things are good to those that love God. In fact, that isn't the case. I think it's because James chapter 1, verse 17, when it says, every good gift and every perfect or maturing gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, is what's going on. You see, God allows the great things, the good things that we all enjoy in this world. But he also allows those that will help us to grow, for them to work together for good in our lives. That's a trying, the trials, the difficulties, the horrible times, the times of pain and sorrow and grief, the times where we don't see how we can make it through it, and we can't humanly make it through it. We have to turn to him and rely upon him. Those are the things that work together for good. Why? Because they're for our spiritual maturity. They're to make us stronger in our faith and in our dependence upon our Lord. Oh, that we would realize God wants us to trust him. And as we start to learn and see how he takes care of us and meets our needs, and as even there, as we walk through those dark valleys of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid, because we know that our Lord, the Good Shepherd, is with us. Oh, we can't see anything ahead, but what's he doing? It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What are they doing? They're directing me in the next step to take as I'm going through that dark time. He's there. Our God is there. And all we need to be telling and sharing with those around us, especially our family, how God is there. How good God is to us. Oh, we need to go and be willing to share also the failures, whether we like it or not. Why do I say that? Well, our failures are some of the times where we grow. When we think that we're on top of things, we've got it all under control, we've got it all figured out, and then we fall flat on our face and sin and doubt and unbelief. Hey, our children need to know that too, so that they're ready, that when they face those difficult times and they fall flat on their face, that there's a God that loves them. The God that wants to bring reconciliation, that wants to forgive them and bring them back. I think God also wants us to share with our children the consequences for the choices we have made. You know, we don't like to talk about those things. I mean, but the reality is, according to Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hey, if God loves you and you're his child, guess what? He's going to chasten you. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because you know what? Chastening or disciplining by a parent, it shows love and concern. It's not to go and beat a person down and destroy them. And I think there are too many people in this world that think that's what God is a mean, vicious God that wants to beat you down and destroy you. He's not. He's a loving God that says, guess what? You're now my children, and I'm not going to allow you to continue on acting like the children of the devil, your old father. You see, our old father, the devil, the one that we were born into, his family, guess what? He could care less what we do. If we want to be as wicked and wild as they come, it's not a big deal to Satan. Hey, it's okay if you want to be a goody-two-shoes. Make it look like even whatever, but he's not going to go and discipline you for doing good or bad. But God says, no, I want my children to go and live in such a way that they are representing me as my legal representative in this world. And therefore, he says, we need to come out from among them and be separate. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's set apart unto God. And from what we grew up before we were saved doing. God wants us to live in a way where he can be glorified and magnified through our lives. Oh, yeah, there are consequences when we make choices. And some of them are pretty rough. And some of you maybe have gone through some pretty rough times because of trying to do things on your own, apart from God, thinking you could handle life without God's help. Oh, that we would not do that. Why does God want us to be training our children in these things and our grandchildren in these things? Verse 6, it says, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. He says, I want you to pass it on, not just to your kids, but to your grandkids, so they can pass it on to their kids and their grandkids. He says, I want it to keep on going, that they might set their hope in the Lord, in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That verse, verse 7, says that they might set their hope in God. Hey, is your hope in God tonight? I think that's a good question to ask. Because you see, it's not, are you saved or are you not saved? It says, even as a Christian, where is your real hope? Where is your confidence? Is it in a job? Is it in the resources that you have? Is it in your own mental capacity and ability to solve problems? Or is it in God? Why are we doing this? Why do we need to share and talk to our children about God and his goodness? So that they might learn that God is the only one, the only source of hope. And friends, his hope extends to today and tomorrow and for all eternity. Oh, that we would never forget that. That's what we need to be sharing with our children. It says, and not forget the works of God. He says, why should you be training your children, sharing with your children, so they won't forget what God has done? But it doesn't stop. Not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's obedience. You know, as parents, it's hard to go and teach your children obedience unless you're being obedient. Unless you're doing and surrender to God and saying, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Your kids are going to have a hard time understanding obedience. They'll see it as something that's selective. If I want to, if it looks good, I'll do it. But if it's unpleasant, if it's scary if it's stepping out in faith and doing something that you've never done before. Forget that. You know? You don't know as an individual what you're going to do when God asks you to do it. For me, it was a scary step in one sense. And yet, it was one that I had total peace about. When after 23 years of pastoring in the same church, God made it clear to me, it's time for you to step down. I had not been looking for another church. I had not been looking for anywhere. I had figured I was going to spend the rest of my life there at that church. But what peace came when I said, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And you know what? My wife went right along with me. Not an issue. It was not a fight. Should we not? No. Did we have any idea what we were going to do next? No. What is that? That's stepping out in faith. Believing that God is the one that is sovereign in your life. The one that you are answerable to in all areas. And you know what? Where God leads, He provides. And He always does. Oh, sometimes we get our sights on all the hard things and we forget God's provision. But He always provides. He doesn't stop there so that we won't forget God's word in verse 8. He says, in verse 8 says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He says, why are you doing this? So that they don't repeat the mistakes of their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents all the way back. And this is talking here about the children of Israel. I mean, you go and look through the rest of the chapter. It talks about how the children of Israel went and God blessed them. God took care of them. God met their needs as they were going through the wilderness. And every chance they got, they turned their back on Him and rebelled and were in rebellion. Yes, they were a rebellious family, people and stubborn. There are people that, according to Hebrews chapter 4, entered not into God's rest. They never got God's best. Why? Because of their unbelief and not trusting in God. Oh, I think your desire, my desire for all of you here tonight is that you would have a right heart, a heart that is right before God, and that your spirit would be steadfast with God, that you would just be a steady eddy in your faith and in your dependence upon God. Not going out and having a whole bunch of fanfare about it, but just faithfully doing and following what God leads you to do. Oh, you do that, guess what? At the end of your life, you can look back and say, praise God. Why? Because none of us are perfect. We all fall flat on our face from time to time. But God keeps picking us up. And out of those ashes, He can go and receive glory and honor like we can't even comprehend. Tonight, the question is, are you living in such a way that you can share with your children the wonderful works of God? Not just the hearsay, even though they are true stories from the Bible, but from your own personal experiences and your own personal walk with the Lord. Can you go and show your children that He is a living Savior that's actively, personally, vibrantly alive and working in your heart and in your life? Guess what? I am convinced that when children see that, they have a lot harder time running away from God. They really do. And guess what? when you're living for God, when you're allowing God to be on the throne in your heart and in your life and living in such a way that you can train your children in the way that they ought to go, and that is in the way that God would have them to go, guess what? You're going to have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, because you're knowing that you are living for your Lord and Savior. So I guess really the question tonight is, how's your heart? How's your spirit? Is your heart right before God? Is your spirit tonight right before God? If not, tonight, you need to allow God to go and clean things out and get your heart and your spirit right before Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the privilege we have to serve you, to magnify you, even if it's just to our children. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way to share, that we can share with our children and those around us your wonderful works. I just pray now, Lord, if there are some that aren't living that way because there's things between them and their Savior, I pray that tonight their heart would be cleansed and their relationship and the joy of their salvation be restored. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.